I got to tell y'all about these two kids down there years and years ago, before the automobile was known at all about any at all, some in Louisiana. And I got a friend back there many years ago. I've known these two boys since they grown up. I didn't know them back there. Then this was before my time, believe it or not. He had two little boys just 14 months apart in age, one of them 12, another one 11, and they don't want but one thing in this life, and that's a shooting gun. So they'd help their papa shoot them gooses. And they say, "Papa, please get us a shooting gun." Both of them want a shooting gun real bad. And he said, "Look, you don't know how bad time are. Them mush rats don't get in the trap. Them coon don't come eat nothing. I can't get no fur. Time is bad. And fishing ain't worse than doggone. And nobody around to eat that, except us." Well, they just worry him all the time, and he make a pretty good season on his trapping them mush rat down there. Then he decided he got enough money to bought one gun. And he told him, said, "Look, okay, now I'm going to get you one shoot gun, but you must not fight over that." "Oh, Papa, we will not fight. We'll took turn, I guarantee." "Oh, no, we will not fight. Some, none at all, ain't it?" He said, "Okay." So he haul off there and go get him a once-old 10-gauge shoot gun. 36-inch barrel. The hammer looked like an ear, so big. And they so proud to get that, and they get that gun, and man, we're gonna go shot something, but they did not have any shells, so they went and stole some of their mama's hen egg and traded them hen egg for some shell. And they got back, and it's too late in the season to hunt them gooses, so they decide they're gonna hunt lapin. That's rabbit in French. And they go to where the hill of Louisiana just stopped themselves and the marsh started itself, because they know there's some rabbit there and some good one. And they there, and they look for them rabbit, and here come the first Model T car, the first automobile they never saw before again in their life. Just running, lickety splits down them roads 20 miles an hour. It ain't nothing but a dirt road, and it was raised a cloud of dust you can see for 10 or 9 miles, I guarantee. And the little boy asked his older brother, he say, "What that is, brother, huh?" And his brother say, "I don't know, but when he brought himself by, I'm going to let him have it, I guarantee." He said, "You go hide behind that big pine tree over there. When he passed, I'm going to let him have it." But little brother go hide behind the pine tree, and this man come by and that Model T Ford, and that boy lowered that 10-gauge, and blew! Well, the man run off the road, turn over on one of them little bitty hills, and jump out and run just as fast as he can. And the little boy come running back, say, "Did you kill it, huh, brother?" His brother say, "I don't know, but I made him turn that man loose, I guarantee."
That was Mr. Justin Wilson talking about some young game hunters. Here's Red Sovine with Phantom 309.
I was out on the West Coast trying to make a buck, and things didn't work out. I was down on my luck. Got tired of roaming and bumming around, so I started thumbing back east toward my hometown. Made a lot of miles the first 2 days, and I figured I'd be home in a week if my luck held out this way. But the third night I got stranded way out of town, at a cold, lonely crossroads, rain was pouring down. I was hungry and freezing, done caught a chill, when the lights of a big semi topped the hill. Lord, I sure was glad to hear them air brakes come on, and I climbed in that cab where I knew it'd be warm. At the wheel sat a big man, he weighed about 210. He stuck out his hand and said with a grin, "Big Joe's the name." I told him mine, and he said, "The name of my rig is Phantom 309. Well, I asked him why he called his rig such a name. He said, "Son, this old Mac can put them all to shame. There ain't a driver or a rig running any line that's seen nothing but taillights from Phantom 309. Well, we rode and talked the better part of the night, when the lights of a truck stop came in sight. He said, I'm sorry, son, this is as far as you go, because I got to make a turn just on up the road. Well, he tossed me a dime as he pulled her in low and said, have yourself a hot cup on old Big Joe. When Joe and his rig roared out in the night, in nothing flat, he was clean out of sight. Well, I went inside and ordered me a cup, told the waiter Big Joe was setting me up. Oh, you could have heard a pin drop. It got deathly quiet, and the waiter's face turned kind of white. Well, did I say something wrong? I said with a halfway grin. He said, no, this happens every now and then. Every driver in here knows Big Joe. But son, let me tell you what happened about 10 years ago. At the crossroads tonight where you flagged him down, there was a busload of kids coming from town. And they were right in the middle when Big Joe topped the hill. It could have been slaughter, but he turned his wheels. Well, Joe lost control, went into a skid, and gave his life to save that bunch of kids. And there at that crossroads was the end of a line for Big Joe and Phantom 309. But every now and then, some hiker will come by, and like you, Big Joe will give him a ride. Here, have another cup, and forget about the dime. Keep it as a souvenir from Big Joe and Phantom 309.
Not too terribly long ago, I saw a video of a gentleman who had one of those dash cameras installed in his car. As he passed through a green light at an intersection, he was T-boned by someone coming through, running a red light. When the police arrived, they questioned the man who obviously ran the red light. The man strongly insisted that it was the other gentleman who ran the red light and caused the accident. The police officer was preparing to write the individual out a citation when he pulled his camera from the dash and showed the video to the officer. It saved that man from a ticket. I thought, how fortunate for that man that he had invested in a piece of technology that not only saved him some money, but preserved the truth of this particular matter. And I also thought to myself, I might want to see about getting one of those cameras. I left for work. Upon my return home from work that very same day, February 9th, I was coming home and I stopped and I was waiting at a red light to make a left turn, just a couple of blocks from home. The light changed, giving me and the driver next to me on my left a green arrow signal. We both proceeded forward to make our left turns. Immediately, the driver on my left slammed on his brakes, and simultaneously, the front of my truck was hit by a vehicle running the opposing red light. The driver on my left drove off, leaving me without any witnesses. My first thought was, it's a little too late to get one of those cameras now. I called the police, and they arrived. The gentleman who hit me was a retired school teacher and a pretty well-known artist in the state. To make a long story short, this gentleman was completely honest about the entire situation, building up my faith just a little bit more in mankind. The police officer told me it would not affect the outcome of an insurance settlement, but that it was up to me if I wanted the man to be issued a citation. One good turn deserves another, I believe, and also that honesty should be rewarded. Now, that's what a nickel soda pop tastes like.
Feel so bad, feel like a ball game on a rainy day. Feel so bad, feel like a ball game on a rainy day. I got my rain check, shake my head and walk away. Thank you. again I wanna leave. Times I wanna leave here, and again I wanna stay. Yes, I got my train fare, pack my grip and ride away.
That was Elvis Presley with Feel So Bad. Here's a comedy team from a long time ago talking about the history of the United States.
It seems as if every year they're coming out with bigger and bigger books at higher and higher prices. The author of one such work is here with me now. You are Mr. Nelson, Alfred E. Nelson, am I correct?
That's right, and the book I wrote is A History of the United States.
Yes, well, I've been looking through this copy we have here. It's 1,100 pages long, isn't it, Mr.
Yeah.
Nelson?
And at that, I'm just beginning to scratch the history of this country.
Well, now, there are quite a few questions I'd like to ask you about it. First of all, as I remember, you had Abraham Lincoln driving to his inauguration in an automobile. Did you check on that at all?
Well, there are several glaring errors in the book that, unfortunately, I didn't catch. Now, that was one of them. Referring to the father of our country as Nelson Washington. That was another one. You know, actually, I was thinking of my own last name there, you know. Actually, his real name, I think, is George.
Yeah, well, you have a number of things like that in the book here, and I think you had the editor of Poor Richard's Almanac as Benjamin French or something like that.
Yeah, instead of French, it should have been Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. Well, now, when did all these things come to your attention, these mistakes, these glaring errors?
Well, a friend of mine brought them to my attention. After the book was published, I sent out copies to the reviewers, you know, on various newspapers and TV stations. And then I sent one to my friend. And he no sooner got a hold of it than he called me at home and he started to point out, you know, several little errors that unfortunately got through.
Yeah, well, like on page 820, if I remember, you have the first capital of the United States in Bailey's Mistake, Maine.
Yeah, yeah.
What prompted you to do a thing like that?
Well, it was just carelessness on my part.
Do any research at all for this book?
Well, quite a bit, but what happened was that I relied on my memory a great deal.
From what you learned in school?
Yeah, what I learned in school, that's right.
How far did you go in school, by the way?
I went through the eighth grade.
And you wrote an 1,100-page history book with only an eighth grade education.
Yeah, well, we had a very intensive history course, see?
Yes, but an eighth grade education isn't enough to qualify a person, even a genius, to write a book of this sort.
Well, that's what you say, you know.
Your book proves it, Mr. Nelson.
Well, look, I had all the facts. It was just that, you know, I had the names wrong. A few dates were wrong.
Right.
For example, I had the Civil War happening in 1911.
Yes.
Which, you know, was wrong, of course, right?
Yeah.
That I could have checked by asking almost anybody on the street. But here again, I was too dogged. You know, when I sit down on my typewriter, I just start and want to get through. You know, just put me on the ground.
I understand. Frankly, I think this is a pretty sloppy piece of work.
Yeah, it's a shabby piece of work, and I'm the first to admit.
It also sells for $47.50, which is a ridiculous price for an 1,100-page thing like this.
Well, look here, it's leather-bound. The publisher, you know, he's fit to be tied with the mistakes.
So. I don't care about the binding anyway. It's the book inside that's important.
Well, the binding does mean something. It's real hand-tool leather, you know. Pages are nice and glossy and everything.
Let me just say that I'm not going to let any of my children see it when they ask me about history.
Well, let me put it this way. I'll never appear in your program again either.
Okay with me. Goodbye, sir. And that is our book report for this session. Back to Control Central.
Thank you, Bob. We'll be right back after these words.
Does your dog like to watch television with you? It's said that dogs watch more TV now than they used to. Older TV sets showed fewer frames per second and were harder to watch, but high-definition modern flat screens allow dogs to see the images just as clearly as us humans.
Pass me by one summer day, flash those big brown eyes my way, and oh, I wanted you forevermore.
Now, baby,
I'm not one that gets around, swear my feet stuck to the ground, and though I never did meet you before, I said hello, Mary Lou.
Goodbye, heart.
Goodbye, heart.
Said,
sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
Mary
I knew, Mary Lou,
that
we'd never part. So hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart, goodbye, heart.
Saw your lips, I heard your voice. Believe me, I just had no choice. While horses could make me stay away. Thought about a moonlit night, arms about you good and tight. That's all I need to see for me to stay.
Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
I'm in love with Mary Lou.
I knew Mary Lou.
We'd never part.
So hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Goodbye, heart. Hello, Mary Lou. I'm in love with you. Yes, hello, Mary Lou.
Goodbye, heart.
Right from the start, I said hello.
As I'd like to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for listening to this hour of the Jason Curtin Show, and I'd like to thank all of the stations that carry the program. There's 88.9 FM KHII out of Cloudcroft, New Mexico, our anchor station, and 97.5 FM out of Alamogordo, New Mexico, our sister station. Also, the Leading Edge Radio Network out of Dallas, Texas, Oldies Radio 104.3 WVPV, proud to be first in Ritchie County, and WVPV stands for West Virginia's Proud Veterans there in Cairo, West Virginia. AM 1290 out of Vancouver, Washington, Oldies Radio 88.com, and Remember When Radio.com, both of those are out of Columbia, South Carolina, and Hawaiian Pacific Radio out of Hawaii, and Q-Star Radio out of Kansas City, but they're heading back to Florida again. KOWS Radio. Radio 107.3 FM out of Occidental, California, and WYAP 107.7 FM out of Clay, West Virginia. There's also AM 1700 Radio Richmond out of San Francisco, California, and AM 520 The Loop and 88.1 WCPR. Both of those are out of Ringgold, Georgia, and Andrews Community Radio out of Andrews, North Carolina. Also, Classic Hits 1630 AM out of Denver, Colorado, and The Music Player Yesterday out of the United Kingdom. Thank you all so much for carrying the Jason Curtin Show, and I'd like to remind you, the listener, that you can check out all of the stations that carry the program by going to my website, jasonkurtman.com, that's C-U-R-T-M-A-N, and clicking on the links in the upper side of the homepage or down in the footer of every page. While you're there, be sure to check out my blog and shoot me an email telling me how much you enjoy the program. It sure does mean a lot to me.
I'm sitting on top of the world, just a rolling along, just a rolling along. I'm quitting the blues of the world, just a singing a song, just a singing a song. Yeah. Just phone the parson, hey Paul, get ready to call. Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm getting ready to fall. I'm sitting on top of the world, just a rolling along, just a rolling along. Just a rolling along. Rolling along. Just a singing my song. Just a rolling along, rolling along. Let me tell you that I phoned the parson. Hey, Paul, get ready to call. Just like Humpty Dumpty when he made his great fall. I'm sitting on top of the world, just a rolling along, just a rolling along.
That was Brenda Lee with I'm Sitting on Top of the World. Here's the great Statler Brothers once again with Do You Know You Are My Sunshine.
She was standing in the crowd all alone, looking pretty, listening to the music that we played. She walked up and whispered, I leaned down and listened to the request that she made.
Do you know?
Do you know you are my sunshine? She asked so sweet and tenderly.
Do you know?
Do you know you are my sunshine? And would you do it one more time for me? Border to border and ocean to ocean, I still look for her every place. Chasing the sunshine each and every night, I'm searching every crowd for a face. She was gone just as quick as the song that she asked for, taking my sunshine away. But someday when I finally look down and see her, I know just what I'm gonna say.
Do you know you are my sunshine?
Do you know what your smile did to me?
Do
you know you are my sunshine? And it looks like you're always gonna be.
Do
you know you are my sunshine? Do you know what your smile did to me? Do you know you are my sunshine? And would you do it one more time for me?
Do you know?
Do you know you are my son?
Here's another great old classic by Mr. Charlie Rich singing about Mohair Sam.
That is what I am.
Well, once again, you and I are finishing up this hour together, enjoying some great music, some great memories, and even a few laughs. And I'd like to thank you for making it just as pleasurable for me as I hope it was for you. I also want to once again remind you to spend some time with your family, make some special memories, and don't forget to take some photographs along the way. No matter what you do, make your community a better place to live, and do it by sharing a laugh, a little ice cream now and then, and a song or two, and a lot of smiles. It's a philosophy brought to us years ago in a song that was done by many groups, but I'm going to close out with one by the Statesman Quartet. It's called Brighten the Corner Where You Are. So keep tapping your toes, keep whistling a tune, and keep spreading the happiness. I'll join you next time on the Jason Kirtman Show, right here on this superbly fantastic station.
Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties that are near you now, be true. The moon that brightens the corner where you are. Brighten the corner, shine for Jesus where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from the harbor you may guide across the bar. The moon that brightens the corner where you are. Just above the clouded skies that you may help to clear, let not narrow shelf your way debar. Though into one heart alone made for your song of cheer, brighten the corner where you are.
Brighten the corner, shine for Jesus where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from the harbor you may guide across the bar.
Come on and
brighten the corner where you are.